Title of the talk is does tree harvesting in stream side management zones adversely affect stream turbidity? Yes, it can, but no, it doesn't have to. And look at the latter part. SMZ has been used across the world to protect water quality during a whole variety of silviculture or agricultural operations. And this particular case example is in Australia. We're looking at mixing of agriculture and forestry, where you have SMZs established to try to mitigate non-point source pollution in the landscape. So really in this talk, I want to talk a little bit about what is an SMZ, how it functions, is it effective, add some caveats, and then we'll get into this study which occurred in northern Tasmania. What is an SMZ? It's important to establish definitions, because if you look at it in the literature, there's a lot of different definitions of what an SMZ is. And there's a lot of confusion with the terminology in terms of what it does. And you see buffer strips, buffer zones, filter strips, riparian zones, riparian management zones, and streamside zones all the way across the literature. So, okay, what is it? We tended to simplify this by saying we're going to use the term streamside management zones because it identifies streamside areas and it talks about management. It's okay to manage these areas. It does not use a technical term, a geomorphic term, does not use a function word. So this is trying just to simplify what we're dealing with. And of course, you get a landscape, there's usually an SMZ border, you have an upland part, a riparian part, and you have the stream. And the trick here is to manage this SMZ so you minimize any non-point source pollution coming off of managed areas like this, which is a clear cut in New Zealand and a stream system. So then we're going to talk just briefly about functions. One of the biggest ones for SMZs is water quality, to try to retain temperature, reduce sediments and nutrients going into the stream systems. And you know, there are various sizes. And this is probably one of the biggest functions. But SMZs do other things, like providing biodiversity and wildlife habitat, plant habitat, recreation. There's a lot of farm economic benefits, and in Tasmania, we were trying to promote SMZs to the farmers as a way of providing these services to the agricultural sector, protecting water quality. Water is a very big issue in Australia. A lot of it's a quantity, but it was also a quality problem. So we were trying to get farmers to put forests back into their landscapes to do this, and in the course of doing this, they can improve the value of their land, provide a lot of livestock shelter, forage, and water. Certification guidance, certainly, soil conservation, and down the road it had an added income. And that was part of what we were doing, is trying to say, yes, you can harvest these areas later, and you can do it without adversely affecting water quality. And some of this gets into some give and take going on with the forest certification boards in the various Australian states. So if you look literature-wise, are SMZs effective? And I use two examples. There's a whole lot in the literature. But Klein and Schoenholtz in Mississippi, they had one treatment was a control with a no buffer, but it was uncut. And then they had a no-cut SMZ, a cable-cut SMZ, and unrestricted cut. And you can see here on the right-hand side, we have various mean suspended solid concentrations. And in essence, the no-cut SMZ had the same as the control. If you added into cable cutting, but you're still using a 30-meter buffer, there was about a doubling. And of course, with unrestricted cut, no buffer, that's where you got your maximum. And that's not what we're trying to aim at. Going now in Malaysia, again, they had a control watershed, one of the 20-meter buffer, a 20-meter buffer, but allowed roads in, and then just SMZ logging and roads everywhere. There's really no difference between the 20-meter buffer and the control, but you add roads in and you got a big increase in your the measure of cubic meters getting into the stream. And then, of course, SMZ logging doubled that. So there are several caveats you have to deal with when you're talking about SMZs. They're not magic, and some places they don't work. And what you really see in the literature is that one of the biggest problems is roads. If you get that across, you understand a lot about the function of SMZs. And if you got roads which are leading runoff like this directly into an SMZ, the SMZ doesn't work, no matter how wide it is. That's the first one. There's a whole bunch of them. I'm only hit on two of them. That's the first one. And the second one is you need to understand the geomorphology of the area you're dealing with. If you have this situation in an SMZ, and this is a vertical cut bank, and then in a side stream system in Arizona, that alone would add far sediment far in excess of anything any land management will do, whether it's harvesting or grazing or whatever. So you need to understand that. If you don't, then you won't quite understand what the SMZ is buying you. So move on to the Tasmanian results. The area here is in northwest Tasmania near Burnie. It's our farm. It's a beef operation. But it's right adjacent to a river that provides water supply for the town of Burnie, Tasmania. And this area here is on a narrow gland farm. And the area we studied was a tributary system here of the Pet River, which goes right on down into the reservoir. So obviously, farmer had a riparian forest in there. He needed some money. He wanted to cut it. But I said, can you do it without adversely affecting water quality? So we set this up with a control, a different part of the watershed. It was not touched. And then this whole area here, in which the first part of it, we only harvested half of the watershed of the riparian area. Before the harvesting occurred, most of the ground was covered by vegetation or litter, as you see an example here along one of our transects. And the harvesting operation went in March of 2009. And the best management practices applied here are really two. The first one was used tracked machinery like you see here to do the harvesting. Well, the second one was there were no new roads added. The third one is by Tasmanian Quota Forest Practice Act. You have to have a 10-meter zone next to streams that you can't allow machines to go into. So we wanted to see what happened. So this shows you the clear felling which occurred. The right side was retained for cutting on a later date, and the left side here was cut. I might say there's a whole series of ponds down this tributary, and we'll be looking at the water quality of two of them. One of the ponds was above the cut area, and one below the cut area. And afterwards, this is what the ground sort of looked like. There was less than 2% bare soil. So the combination using tracked machinery and staying out of the area right adjacent to the streams, you didn't really have much change in cover. You had some localized soil exposure where the machines were operating repeatedly, like where they had landings and they were picking up and stacking logs on the trucks. The localized soil exposure, and this is looking on one of the transects we established, was about less than 5%. So, you know, it didn't really, all the cover shifted from the litter to more towards slash materials from the harvesting, the cover didn't change much. So if you look at that in terms of cover post harvesting, this is along the Pet River tributary. In some places you had the red here being a post-cut transect had some increases in bare soil, which is showing here like a number of them. And this, only at one transect did you see an increase of bare soil right next to the stream, and that's this light colored bar. That's that 10, you know, within that 10-meter exclusion zone. And this is giving you an idea of what it looked like along this 10-meter exclusion zone. And because of the machinery being used, they could harvest the trees right down next to the stream like this. But except in some rare instances, you really don't see a whole lot of soil disturbance. We used graph samples to try to get one example on how to get an idea of what was going on. This goes down from the untreated area up here down to the Pet River itself. And these areas up in here that had these higher turbidities, livestock had access to it. This one here had no access. And then our dam 10 starts right here and goes down to dam 13, where I'll show you some more data. And virtually, you had this drop-off in turbidities and until it merged with the undisturbed or uncut Pet River. So that's the upper end of the cut area, that's the lower end of the cut area. And this is what we were concerned, and you can see by the graph samples, it wasn't showing any difference. So the BMPs used in the harvesting operation protected water quality. Okay, so this is just one of the continuous turbidity data outputs. The blue is rainfall, the black is turbidity. This is at dam 10. This is above the treated area. And you see we got up to 350 NTUs. And you can see the baseline down here, which is issue 5. 5 or less. Again, we had sensors above and below the treated area to give us a continuous turbidity reading rather than just the grab samples. And one of the problems with that upper dam 10 is there sediments from roads were moving into the tributary at several different locations, and you can see deposits. This is dam 10 here. You see the deposits above there. Okay, so let's look at some more of the continuous recording. This goes from May all the way into July. And I've got two items marked up. All these peaks you see here are not really turbidity spikes, which they actually are. There's blockages of the sensor, and so it's popping up like that. But the overall trend is right here. It stays 3 or less virtually the whole time. And down here we had this turbidity spike at dam 10. This is dam 13 below the cut area, where you had a 350 NTU spike. You didn't see anything here. So obviously the BMPs worked. I look at some longer traces, and this is comparing from June through January of 2009 to 2010. This is the trace at dam 10. This is the one affected by the road sediments. And you see it's averaging over 10 and with pulses up to in the 300 to 400 range. Down at dam 10, 13, again, a lot of these individual spikes are just noise in the system. You're down around 1 or less. So in conclusions, what do we have to say about streamside harvesting if you're using BMPs? That SMZ functions and widths are variable, and SMZ vegetation can be very effective in trapping sediments. But there's sediment geomorphics and hydrological factors you have to consider in SMZs that might limit their ability to maintain water quality, roads being a particular one. And trees in SMZs can be harvested without degrading water quality. Any questions? There's all eucalyptus. Yeah. No, there are some on the farm, there's Pinus radiata, but this particular tributary only had eucalyptus. Question? I am.
Dan, there's a lot of interest now in Oregon and other places in water quality criteria for turbidity assessment. Share some thoughts on principles that might
Well, the principles are there are existing BMPs out there. If they're employed, they can reduce any increase in turbidity or sedimentation of streams. That's fully possible. We did this study to provide data to the Forest Practices Board in the state of Tasmania to get them to revise their code of forest practice to allow harvesting along the stream side areas, because they had this 10-meter buffer strip either side that was sort of sacrosanct. Said, no, you can't do anything in there. And he said, that's not necessarily the case. So here we conducted this harvesting operation, used BMPs, harvested right up to the stream, and the effect is no adverse effect on water quality. But we needed data like that because the Tasmanian Code of Forest Practice was set up without any science input into it. There are no studies to provide an underpinning of that 10-meter either side of the stream exclusion zone. So I say that you need to use the best science when you're developing those, whether the standards or et cetera. A couple other questions? There were temperature measurements done, but I haven't got the data here, and my poor brain can't remember them. But yes, you do get an increase, obviously, when you clear it off like that. But that's been shown before. But temperature is not a factor in their code of practices. The sediment is. Yes. Well, that's something to figure out. And on this particular operation, there was one designated stream crossing. The Tasmanian Code of Forest Practices allows a designated stream crossing, which they laid trees down and they crossed over on it. And when they're done, they pulled the trees up, and there was no indication of any soil disturbance. But, you know, there's a limit of how many crossings you can have. The bulk of this area, because they're only harvesting one side, they didn't have to cross it. But there was ways that they decided to do the whole thing. They could cross it. They could get over on both sides without having to cross the stream. Tom?
Could you comment on the picture of the main stream and the temperature going in? Basically, it looks like that. The main stream is flowing right through the ag fields with the cows, just walking, doing whatever else comes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you just look at this, the area between the two lines is kind of the harvested area. These areas up here had cattle access to it. And although the objective was not to study the infect of cattle, that the biggest inputs were caused by that, secondarily by the road systems which were putting, right up here, which were bringing up sediment into the, it's back here. This road here was providing sediment into it. The cattle had access here and here, but not there. And this is dammed in the upper area, the cut area, and this is the lower area. So the water quality at that point, where when the Pet River, which goes into the water supply for Burney, there was no increase in turbidity. It was just background levels. The Pet River is. The Pet River runs along like this. Okay. And that's the stream that feeds into it. And this is the tributary that was harvested from here on down, and also a side area there. So it gave us the data we wanted to present the Forest Practices Board to say, okay, we're requesting a revision in your Code of Forest Practice. Okay? Great time. Thank you.